The name of the Lord be praised. Hallelujah. We're going to be reading in the sixth chapter of Matthew. Now the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh chapters were all Christ, the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount, to me, is the equivalence of what the Ten Commandments was to the Old Testament. What we had in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, what Christ was trying to teach the people in the New Testament was right here in these three chapters. I thank God for how God was so simple with the people. He spoke in parables. He spoke so they would understand the Word of God. He's given us His Word here, simple for us to understand. And many things that we don't understand, as we continue to read His Word, God will open up your mind. Be sincere before God, and He will open your mind to the Scriptures. Many times I've always used that little thing about the light. You have a dimmer switch, and as you go into a room, you can't see anything. But as you turn the switch, a little at a time, you begin to see things in the room. And this is the way it is with the Scripture. You might read it over and over, and you don't seem to understand it. But then all of a sudden that light goes on and you know what God is trying to tell you. And He was telling the people here how to live their lives, how to do what was right in the sight of God. So let us begin by reading in the 24th verse of chapter 6 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6 will begin with the 24th verse. Hallelujah, glory to God. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Which one will you choose? We can't serve God and serve the world. We can't keep our foot on one side and the other. We can't walk the fence. We have to make a commitment to God. Which way do you want to walk? God gives us an opportunity to make up our minds. Which way will we go? This is an individual choice God gives us. And thank the Lord that He gives us our choice, that we can know which way we want to go. In the 25th verse, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more than they? God takes care of the birds. He waters the grass with the rain. He takes care of the trees, all the animals. They don't have to do anything. He takes care of them. So how much more does He take care of you and me? How much more does He do for us? He didn't say it would be all rainbows. No. We have to go through hard places too. But when we go through the hard places, we know that he's with us. Never turns his back on us. There's only one thing that God can't do. You believe that? There's only one thing that God can't do. He can't go back on his promises. He won't go back on his promises. This is the one thing that we have to remember, keep it in our hearts, to know he'll never turn his back on you or me. He's here for us, dear ones. Don't ever think that the problems you go through, he doesn't know about, he doesn't hear, he doesn't see your hearts, because he knows what you're going through. Sometimes he knows better than you know yourself. But thank God we have him to go to. Praise his name. The 27th verse. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. All of his gold and silver and mansions and things that he had wasn't even more than what God provides in this world, the beauty of this world, the birds that we see, the cardinal, the robin, the peacock, how beautiful their colors. But who made these colors? Our Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't get a paintbrush out and paint them. This was God. Our God can do so many things. Let's not make him smaller than what he is by being afraid. By being afraid. Fear not. I am with you. Not today and tomorrow, but always. Always. What a privilege we have to serve such a mighty God. In the 30th verse it says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows what we need. He knows what problems you have. He knows what you're looking for. And I've heard people say, I don't need a new suit. I don't need this and I don't need that. And when my health is failing me, I don't have to worry about anything because God's going to take care of me. That's all well and good. That's fine. We know that God's going to take care of us. But let's not go overboard either. We have to take care of ourselves too. God gives us the instruments to do this. We have to work. We have to clothe ourselves. We have to do things. When we're ill and we wait upon the Lord for things, but if you have to go to a doctor, you go to a doctor. If you have to take care of yourself in some way or other, you do so. We don't just sit, stand there and say, this is happening, but I'm going to be all right. I'm standing in front of this car. God's going to protect me. We cannot do these type of things. I have a little story. There was a man, maybe some of you have heard this, and this man, he was very, very spiritual. He believed that God would do anything for him, and we do too. But this man was in a house that was being flooded, and the water began to rise. And as the water rose, a man in a boat came by, and he says, "Get in the boat. I'll have you here to save you." He says, "No, God's going to take care of me." So the boat passed, and the water rose higher. So he climbed up on the roof. He climbed on the roof, and another boat passed. And he says, "Jump in the boat. I'll take you to safety." "No," he says, "God will provide." And the water rose more, and he was standing up to his neck in water. And a helicopter came. They dropped him a rope and said, "Take the rope, we'll pull you to safety." And he said, "No, God will provide." The man died. And when he went before the Lord, he said, "God, I depended on you. I depended on you to help me." And what did God say to him? "I sent you two boats and a helicopter." We cannot be so foolish. We have to take care of ourselves too. When you have some health problems or some issues, take care of it. Take care of it. We depend on God. Yes. But there may be a time when God says, "It's time to go to the doctor. It's time to take care of your health." We have to use the wisdom that God gave us. Use your minds. You can't sit in your house and say, "I don't have to go to work. God's going to provide." He provides for us. He gave you that job. He gave you what you needed. The money to buy your clothes. The food on your tables. But we have to use common sense. The farmers don't have to go to college to know what is right and what's wrong. They know how to plant their seeds, take care of their homes, take care of their farms, and give us the food that we need. But it isn't going to grow by itself. They have to take care of it and nurture it. God nurtures you and me, dear ones. He nurtures us. He raises us so we'll grow in the faith. He shows us which way we're supposed to go. If we make the wrong decision, it's our responsibility. But he's always there to try and pull you back to the way you're supposed to go. Thank God for him. Thank God for our Lord. Thank God for our angels being round about us every day. My mother talks so much about the angels. She calls her nurses angels. She calls people that are around her angels. She even called all of you angels. Because to her, you're all angels. Thank the Lord. Verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for itself, for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't look to other things. Look to God. Always put him first in your life. I don't have to tell you these things. You know them already. But if that's what God wants me to tell you, I'm going to tell you. We have to put him first. The world is on the back burner. Don't even look there, because the devil will open your eyes to something you're not supposed to see. Don't look to the world. Don't look to the things of this world, because it can tempt you. It can hurt you. I know I was tempted. I know many of you may have been tempted. But God had mercy and pulled us back. Pulled us the way we were supposed to go. He loves us so dearly. He wants to see no one perish. I just thank God that I had the opportunity to come to the Lord with people that were our neighbors and asked us, come with us to church. And we went. And I loved the church so much that I gave my heart to the Lord. Each and every one of you must have stories of how you came to the Lord. Some of you were fortunate enough to be raised in a Christian home. But thank the Lord, he had mercy on the rest of us. Thank God that he has done so much for each and every one of us. That even when we try to walk away, he doesn't want to let us. He tries to keep us in the path of righteousness. In the 7th chapter, we read a few verses. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? We have our problems. We have things in our own life. So we are not to judge someone else when you see something and say, oh, look at him, look at her. Oh, she's doing this, she's doing that, he's doing this. Look at ourselves first, because God is judging us. Know that we are not the ones to judge anyone else. We are the ones that are being judged. So look at your own life first. Ask God. And if you see something in your life that is not pleasing to the Lord, ask God to take it out. Rip it out. It does no good for you. David, God saw his heart. God saw the kind of heart David had. And he was willing to forgive him because he was humble before the Lord. He bowed down before the Lord. He recognized his sin and he humbled himself before God. Let us be able to humble ourselves before God. Don't ever think we're better than someone else, that we can do more than someone else, because we ourselves are being judged. Thank God that he is our God and he takes care of us. Verse 4, how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote in thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. We are so responsible before God for all things. Let us not waste our lives on the things of this world, but put our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God that he teaches us daily. He shows us the way we are to go. Let us continue in his way and know that God is with us no matter what. I thank God for this word this morning. The name of the Lord be praised now and forever.